come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with my pick of the month. I have chose a absolute banger from our childhood, I think, anyways. And I chose a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 90.
Yes, sir.
The one that started it all.
Yep.
How big of a movie was this for your childhood?
Pretty big.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the cartoons like you did.
Okay.
And I didn't play any of the video games either. So, like, these movies were like my TMNT.
Yeah. Okay.
And I know I watched this first one, you know, endlessly. Second one, I think I watched a few times, and maybe the third one, I think I've seen, if I remember correctly. I think it's like, isn't it like it's Samurai's or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They but go it's back been in like, time.
Yeah, like this one, I think maybe last time I seen it was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe. But like,
oh wow,
the other two, like, I haven't seen in like since I was a kid, probably. So
really, okay,
yeah, yeah.
The second one was, I think I liked it more than this one growing up.
Okay, yeah, that's one with fucking the rapper there,
Vanilla Ice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go turtles, go turtles, go. I think that I love that scene so much. I used to fucking dance around my mom's living
room. Nice.
Yeah, this movie was a huge, well, the whole trilogy was a huge part of my childhood. And I loved the cartoons. I had some of the comics. I had all the toys that had come out. Like, I had the shooter man. It's just, yeah, the Ninja Turtles. And then it kind of turned into like Biker Mice from Mars and then Street Sharks. Like, I loved that whole, I don't know, like mutant animals kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, before we talk about the movie, we'll kick off our box office news. And
so tonight I am drinking. Sorry.
So you gotta read your notes for what you're drinking.
Yeah, I know. My work this year, we decided to, for Christmas gifts for some of our customers, we got some beers made.
Okay.
So I am drinking a City Electric Supply lager.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's from Kenfield Brewing Company.
Yeah.
So one of my customers was nice enough to give me one back. So
nice.
Very excited to try this out.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
The label looks good too. Like, it's a,
yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to run to the grocery store tonight and I didn't have any beer at home. So I grabbed a 6-pack of Refined Fools.
Nice.
I think it was a Fun IPA box, it was called.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm drinking their Florida Stole My Parents Orange Juice IPA.
Nice.
And if you can see the bottom, it's dented out because I was walking out of the grocery store and the handle broke on the box. Boom. I was like, oh, motherfucker. Am I going to have to go buy another one now?
Yeah. But
this is the only one that got damaged and none of them
nice
burst open. Okay. Happy about that.
Nice.
It's an orange IPA, that's for sure. I have to put it in a glass, though, because it won't stand up on its own. I know we just recorded a couple days ago because we did our Elm Street episode on Tuesday, but what have you watched since?
So I took a sick day, as you know, on Wednesday.
Yeah, you feeling better now?
I was yesterday, and then today I started feeling a little bit icky again. So, and Bettina's getting sick too, so I don't know. We might not go tomorrow to the Christmas party, so I don't know. We'll see.
Casey's going to be pissed because we're not going either.
I know. He told me today. He's like, don't fucking bail. So the last four I watched J. Kelly. It's on Netflix. A new Noah Baumbach movie with George Clooney and Adam Sandler. I gave it a 3.5. Pretty good movie. I think probably Clooney and Sandler will both be nominated probably for some awards.
Oh yeah.
They're all right. Like, that's what people are saying. I didn't think they're like amazing. Like, George Clooney is really good, but Adam Sandler was all right. Pretty like emotional movie. It's pretty much George Clooney plays like a high profile actor who's like getting into his late in his career and just kind of trying to balance family and being a lister celebrity. So it was all right. It's pretty good. I watched Unforgiven. I gave it 3.5 as well. That's with George Clooney. I don't know.
That's not the
I liked
Western
it.
one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Clooney's in that.
Not Clooney, sorry. What did I say Clooney? Clint Eastwood.
Okay, I was gonna say. Threw me off for a second.
Yeah. So it was all right. Then watch The Toxic Avenger
Yeah.
from, well, 2023, but came out this year.
Yeah.
Kind of ridiculous, and I don't know if I liked it or not, but
It's so crazy.
it's crazy. And like, barely recognize Elijah Wood too. Like,
Right? Man, his
yeah,
makeup was nuts.
it was, yeah. So yeah, and then finally, I watched Roofman with Channing Tatum, based on a true story. Give it a 3.5. Fun movie. Kind of wild story, but it's like kind of, I don't know, kind of boring a little bit ish. It's funny, but yeah, definitely check it out.
I didn't realize it was based on a true story.
Was crazy, man. Crazy. What about you?
Oh, I watched Dunkirk. It's
Nice.
I was watching it for my Christopher Nolan list on Letterboxd. I had never watched it before.
Really?
First time watch, yeah. I enjoyed it. It's definitely not my favorite
That's
Christopher
the one
Nolan.
with Barry Keoghan and Harry Styles and yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I gave it 3.5 stars. Definitely not his best, in my
Yeah,
opinion.
I gotta rewatch. It's been a long time. I think Tom Hardy's in it too.
That was the other one.
Yeah, Tom Hardy and fuck, Oppenheimer dude, Cillian Murphy.
He didn't have a big role in it, but yeah.
No.
Okay. For the box office, I'm gonna do top six for this one. Because in sixth place, we have Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair.
Nice.
It brought in 3.4 million. It's only in like 1,200 theaters, so it's a pretty limited release.
Yeah.
And then in fifth place, we have Now You See Me, Now You Don't. It brought in 3.4 as well. In fourth place, in its opening weekend, we have Jujutsu Kaisen Execute,
Nice.
which brought in 10 million. Third place, we have Wicked for Good, brought in 17.3. In second place, we have Zootopia 2, brought in 43.4.
Nice.
And in first place, in its opening weekend, not a surprise, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 brought
Yeah.
in 64 million. Big opening weekend.
Question for you. Fire and Ash releases in a week. What's your predictions for box office? Like, obviously gonna be probably number one on the weekend, obviously, but
I think it'll hit a mil, 100 mil. I mean,
yeah, I was
sorry.
gonna say, I mean, Amelia is pretty easy,
I think
but
it'll hit 100 mil.
yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
It's a tough time for a movie to come out, but I feel like it's so highly anticipated.
Yeah.
Because yeah, next weekend.
Yeah. I mean, most people will be done work pretty much on the 19th, right?
That's very true. Yeah, I
So,
think it'll hit 100 million.
yeah.
I would love to go see it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just watched the first two not that long ago. I watched them in succession, and
Yeah.
just fuck.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go see Kill Bill on January 3rd.
Yeah.
Excited for that too.
Very excited for
4 hours in a movie
that.
theater.
Four and a half.
Gonna be fucking
Yeah.
nuts, man. I might just stay in Ottawa.
Yeah, really.
Find a hotel.
Yeah,
All right. I guess we've. Do you want to redo the 4Ks?
no, don't worry
All
about
right.
it.
If you're listening and you're interested in the 4K releases, go listen to.
Yeah.
Because it was a long fucking list.
It was, yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's kick off this movie discussion. Radical, dude. All right, like we said in the intro this week, we were talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. Starting off the synopsis, four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles emerge from the shadows to protect New York City from a gang of criminal ninjas. This was directed by Steve Barron, who did Coneheads, The Adventures of Pinocchio, Merlin, Dreamkeeper, and I think every single music video released during the 80s, he directed. He had 129 directing credits, and I think 120 of them were. It
Jesus.
was fucking nuts going through his list. For the cast, it's a little bit bigger than it normally is, but I have Judith Hogue playing April O'Neil, Elias Koteas playing Casey Jones, and I'll let you. How did you describe him?
If Robert De Niro and Sean Penn had a baby.
And you watched it before I did last night. And he came on the screen, and I was just like, oh my God, that is the most accurate fucking comparison I think I've ever seen.
It wasn't until like later in the movie, like whenever they go to Casey's house, that like
Yeah.
I really like looked and I was like, he really looks like those two.
He does. He really does. Josh Pais played Raphael, and he is the only turtle that was voiced and acted by the.
Okay.
Then we have Michelin Sisti and Robbie Rist playing Michelangelo. So Sisti did the body, and then Robbie Rist did the voice. And Leif Tilden and Corey Feldman did Donatello. And David Foreman and Brian Tochi played Leonardo.
And the actors who like did the bodies, they were actually like other characters in the movie as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Sisti was the guy who was delivering the pizza right at the start of the
Yeah.
movie. Thought that was cool. Did you have anybody else?
I don't think so. Not really.
All right.
Oh, actually, how the fuck do we not mention this?
Oh
Very
yeah,
honorable
fuck.
mention.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was in this movie. Well, I don't remember, but until I saw it on like TikTok or something the other day.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell
Yeah, yeah.
plays the fucking lead gang
Yeah.
member.
This had to have been one of his first roles. Like he was young in this movie.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
He's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Like I think he still had pimples on his face. That's how fucking young he was.
Yeah, seriously. I want to see. Yeah, it wasn't his first movie, but definitely like
Early in his career.
early in his career, yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
Nice.
hilarious.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into this movie.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I just gotta say that this movie is, if you could describe the 90s or show someone the 90s in one movie, this would be it, I think.
Yeah.
It has everything, like the music, the style, the clothes, the attitude, just amazing. I love it, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a throwback for sure.
So the movie opens up. We have April O'Neil. She is narrating the news, and she's talking about how all these people are getting robbed. There's, kids and gang members just taking TVs and whatever you can get. Like there's an old lady on her fucking like apartment porch and turns away for 2 cents, and the guy takes her TV and is like,
Yeah.
what the fuck? And so you see April leaving for work, and it's late at night. There's guys loading TVs up into a thing, and she catches them there. And we see Sam Rockwell. He fucking, he's so good. And like,
Yeah.
just like his look too, like he just has that suave, like 90s bad boy kind of look.
Greasy suave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But all you hear is like the turtles come in, you don't see them, but you just hear them beating up the bad guys, and they're all like tied up and stuff like that. And Raphael ends up losing a Psi, and April takes it with her. So yeah, Raphael has a pair of Psis. Leonardo uses katanas. Donatello uses a bow staff, and Mikey uses nunchucks.
Who is your favorite ninja?
My favorite Ninja Turtle is Donatello.
Okay. That's
Always has been. He's the brains of the game. I feel like everybody's usual like favorite is, you know, Mikey or Leonardo. I think Raphael in this movie is way too fucking dark, or was way too fucking dark for me as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid for sure.
Like, and same with like a couple of scenes with Leonardo. Like, this movie is dark and depressing as fuck
Yeah,
at some points.
it is.
And just, I think Mikey is very silly. I think Donatello is like the perfect kind of in between, I think, between Mikey being like the young, like hip pizza skateboarding guy, and then Leonardo and Raphael kind of being the more serious guys. I feel like Donatello is kind of like in the middle a bit. What about you?
Growing up, it was always Michelangelo. I feel like his energy really kind of spoke to me a little bit because I was definitely undiagnosed. But now that I'm older, I feel like I can relate more to Raphael now, and like I can understand his character a lot more now as an adult. I think the only wrong answer is Leonardo, to be honest. He kind of drives me a little crazy, but
That's fair. Because he's like considered like the leader, kind of like not the leader, but kind of is, right?
He kind of always has been, right? Like even in the cartoons. Yeah.
But I like all of them for their own reasons. But
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, we are now in the sewer. And we just get introduced to them right away. You know, they have tequila going. They're dancing, and they, instead of saying tequila, they say like ninjutsu or something like
Yeah.
that. And again, like just pure 90s, the costumes in this are fucking amazing.
Yeah, Jim Henson did the costumes on
Oh,
this.
did he?
Yeah, and I think he said it was his most difficult task that he's ever had to do, but it was like his most rewarding. And man, the fucking costume design in this movie is unreal for the 90s.
Like, I don't know how they got their like lips to move either.
It was all like controlled. Like I think somebody else was controlling the mouth, but the way that they filmed it, they filmed the mouths moving in 23 frames per second, but then they had to speed them up to 24 frames per second because that's how they filmed the actual movie. So that's how they were able to make it move fast enough that it looked like they were actually talking and it wouldn't. So just stuff that they did in this movie, it was so fucking cool.
And same with Splinter as well. Like just the design of Splinter
Yeah.
just
He creeped me the fuck out when I was a kid,
it
man.
is very creepy.
Yeah. Like,
Definitely.
this is a New York City fucking sewer rat in human-sized form.
Pretty much. So they're all like dancing and singing and stuff like that, and Raphael is just pissed off. I don't know exactly why he's pissed off.
He lost his sigh.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. And oh, thank you.
Hi, Bettina.
I got dino nugs too.
Sick.
But in this movie, Raph seems like he's like 10 years older than the rest of them. because he's just so fucking angry, and he's the only one that kind of goes out on his own. Like, he wears the hat with the trench coat, and they're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "Going to see a movie. Can a guy go see a movie by himself or something like that?"
I think he's the only one, like, he's pissed off that they have to hide, which is like his biggest gripe in all of this, right? Because the other ones are fine just staying in the suit, going out at night where nobody can see them, but he wants to actually go out.
And like, I think this movie balances like the like I don't know if I consider like a kid's movie. Like,
No,
at some
no.
parts it is, but like a lot of it's like dark, like especially like Raph stuff and like
Yeah.
later on with Leonardo. It's So he goes and watches Critters. That
Yeah.
was funny. What do you think of the pizza scene of them getting the pizza delivered?
And that was always one of my favorite scenes. Because it's so cool, too, because Mikey's just sitting there by himself, kind of pondering shit. And then Donnie comes up and he sits down beside him. He's like, "What you doing?" He's like, "Pizza dude's got 30 seconds or get $3 off." And they're just sitting there chatting. And then finally the pizza guy shows up and he's like, 128 and an eighth. 128 and an eighth. And he's trying to figure out where the address is. And they have to dump it or drop it down into the. I don't know. I just always thought that it was a really.
And the guy's like, "Hey, that's only $7 or something like that." And they're like, "Oh, you're 3 minutes late, pal." And like, the pizza looks really good in this
Oh,
too.
yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, Ralph is out on his own. He finished the movie. We see an old lady get her purse snatched, and Raphael kind of saves the day. And the two thugs go running off into the woods or into the park, and Raphael chases after him because he's not done with them. And he is about to fight them, and then our boy, my guy, Casey Jones, comes in and scares him away. And he has this fucking sick ass hockey mask with the hockey stick and a couple more weapons at his arsenal. And he's my favorite, man. He's so good. And like, I think as well, I think the actor and the writing for this has made him that much better. Like, I don't think this guy has obviously went on to do much because we've never heard of him before, but I think he's just great.
Yeah, the banter back and forth between him and Raphael in this scene is so good. Just like talking like sports terms and stuff, because Casey's got, like how you said, he's got a hockey stick, he's got a cricket bat, he's got, I think, a baseball bat, he's got like a whole bunch of random sports equipment in his little fucking shoulder pouch. And they're saying, like, what are they saying? Oh, like home, like Raphael hits him with the baseball bat. He's like, "Home run, Raph wins 1-0." And then Casey pulls out the cricket bat. He's like, "How about a little cricket?" He's like, "Cricket? Nobody understands cricket. You got to understand crumpets to understand cricket." He just fucking smashes him in the face with it.
Oh
Says
man,
the
he
line.
beat the shit out of Raphael.
I was reading the trivia too. This scene, whenever Raph goes into the garbage can, because he goes in head first, the mask caved in and broke the guy's nose.
No way.
So whenever Raph comes out, he's holding his face. That's because the actor fucking broke his nose.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raph's just in the dumpster, just upside down, and Casey runs away, and then Raph's just like, "I'm not finished with you." He's like chasing after him, then he gets away, and he's like, "Ah!" Yeah, I love like when he first sees like Raphael, and he's like, "Who do you think you are?" And then he's like, "Some bald guy with wears green paint."
What are you, a punker? I hate punkers.
So the next day we see April. She is at her boss Charles's house, and we see Danny there, who is Charles's son, is involved in the gangs. Danny is probably one of the biggest reasons why this movie takes a hit for me. I think just terrible casting, I think. And like, just the actor is just not there, like has zero emotion. I just think he's just not a great actor. Like,
Oh, yeah, I agree.
and like he's kind of an important part of this movie, but like it just, yeah, it just not that great. So April throughout the movie, she thinks it's the Foot Clan and the chief of police. The whole movie is kind of, I think he knows it's them, but I think maybe doesn't want to go after them, kind of wants to leave it be. And he's pissed at April like the whole movie, like, leave it alone, leave it alone. And you know, at one point April ends up getting fired because of it. But you know, she's doing her job, man. And Shredder wants to kill her because she keeps talking about them. We see Danny ends up getting arrested. And then we see Raphael, he sees April and he's following her into the subway. And this is where we first see the Foot Clan. Costumes are okay for the Foot Clan. They're like not like anything great, but I mean, what else can you really do, right?
Yeah, because they're just like they wear like full the they're like the Green Man suits, right? And then they have the eyes cut out, but they have like almost like inserts that make them look like a fly almost.
Exactly. And so there's like maybe like six or seven of them like surrounding her, and she just takes out the sign and she's like, come on, she's like hitting them with her purse and they like knock her out. And then we see Raph grab the sign and he just kicks her ass in like 2 seconds, and then he grabs April and runs into the sewers to take her to his hideout. And probably a terrible idea, honestly. He's pretty much the reason why everything happens.
Yeah, because there's one guy from the Foot Clan that follows him in, so now he knows where the hideout is.
And April wakes up and sees Splinter. I probably have the same reaction.
I think I would too.
What did you think of the origin story that they kind of showed?
Man, it's so fucking far-fetched, dude. But I mean, it is what it is. The story, I mean, it's always been kind of crazy and a little ridiculous, right? So Splinter was owned by a guy named fuck, what was his name? It wasn't Orokosaki, because that's Shredder's real name. Hamato Yoshi, that was his name. So that's he was his owner, but he was a martial arts expert. So Splinter would sit in his cage and watch him train, and then he would start to mimic the martial arts moves that he was doing. And keep in mind, he is just a normal ass rat at this point. And then they ended up having to move to New York, and then Orokusaki killed Yoshi, and then he was just kind of left on his own, but he got a little bit of revenge because he scratched his face.
And then, like, he cut off
Cut off.
Splinter's ear, which is like, how do you not just cut off his head? Like, his little fucking rat.
Cuts off his ear, and then he's just kind of left to his own devices in the sewers. And he comes across four baby turtles that are just playing in this mutant muck grossness. And then they all grow into what they are now. So it's just a very far-fetched and ridiculous story. But keep in mind that this did come from a comic book. So, I mean, it's a little more understandable, but.
The turtles, the baby turtles are super cute too.
Yeah.
It's like kind of
Pizza,
like
pizza.
animation style a little bit, like claymation sort of, but he's like pizza, pizza. So we are at April's. She tells them that she has frozen pizza, so they're like, all right, yeah. So they go to April's apartment and they like do like a Rocky impression, and then I don't know what the other one was that they did, but
Oh, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. Something like that.
yeah
I can't remember who that is.
yeah Danny ends up running away again. He does end up seen the turtles in the house, but they're kind of hiding around. But he does see one of them. So he ends up going back and telling Shredder.
I love this whole sequence too, because Charles knocks on the door and they're all just waking up. And she's like, oh my God, you guys gotta hide. And then she turns around, they're already gone. And it's just like these, it just goes to show like how masterful they are at this ninjutsu where they hide within seconds. And like the hiding spots are nothing special. Like Mikey's hiding under a table. I think Donnie's hiding up in the fucking shower. And it's just the craziest spots for them to hide because they're these huge fucking turtles with a big shell on the back.
So we head to the hangout where all of the kids and Shredder and them are. I gotta say, this is a fucking sick ass hangout.
Man.
They got like arcade machines, they got fucking gambling, they got cigarettes,
Skate park.
they got menthol. They want menthol, they want regular. They got skateboarding. Awesome. And
Yeah,
it's like a little like Foot Clan or kind of recruitment center kind of thing.
I would have loved to hang out at this. I'd have been there every day.
So we meet Master Tatsu, who is like this badass kind of second in command to Shredder. He's the one that's kind of recruiting these like kids and gang members to see who can become a member of the Foot Clan.
It's crazy too, because like even like Tatsu and Shredder were still voiced by different people.
Really?
Yeah. Which is fucking wild to me, but I guess it is what it is. But I don't know if they did it after in editing or how they did it, but
So remember I told you I had a hot take about this movie?
yeah, I've been waiting for that.
I mean, it's probably a good hot take. Maybe you probably may agree with it. I think that Shredder in this movie, maybe I don't know how to say this, the coolest or like best representation in like any comic book kind of canon.
Not a terrible take.
Like this introduction to fucking Shredder is so fucking cool. I
With the
was
shadow, like the top down view.
the fucking music and like you just see him slowly come in like fucking Darth Vader vibes.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Seriously, like he's not in this movie that much, but like he's fucking sick, man.
Yeah.
Like just his introduction has the music. He comes in slowly and like everyone's like quiet, like looking at him, has like these fucking like not like razor blades, but like the I don't know, like these metal spike kind of things. I don't know, it's hard to describe kind of.
Over his hands, and then he's got the shoulder pads with the spikes, and he's got his samurai helmet that he always has with like blades on the top of it. Like,
It has a mask and only see his eyes and yeah, he's fucking badass, man. Like I
they did
love
it.
him in this movie.
Yeah, they did a great job with this costume. And yeah, like that whole scene whenever he first comes in. Oh, sorry. But like, because all the kids are like, they're playing, they're doing their thing, and like, they're having a great time. Everybody's fucking, the music's just pumping. And then you hear this gong bang. And then they all stop what they're doing and they run to this area where Shredder's coming into. And it's just like, this man has so much fucking fear and respect out of these people. It's nuts. And yeah, like how you said, like we have a top-down view of him walking in, and you just see like an elongated shadow behind him. And then he walks up and he's got his cape that's up over his shoulders. And then Tatsu, like, so you can see his spiky shoulder pads. And it's just crazy. And then he
This
has like this.
guy has all the aura.
And he has this fucking wicked opening monologue. So good.
So Shredder is kind of making the Foot Clan members. You see him give them the mask and stuff like that. And we see Splinter is chained up not too far away. The turtles think that Splinter is dead, but he's not. He wants the kids in the Foot Clan to find the turtles, and then Danny fucking shows up and he kind of raises his hand and he tells them where they're at. We see April is still talking about the Foot Clan. And so they are in the apartment by themselves, and Leo and Raphael start arguing. And I love Mikey and Donatello. What they say, but they're like, they're arguing. Yep, let's go to
Yeah.
the kitchen. And yeah, Leo and Raphael start arguing about, stuff, and Raph saying that, oh, you say that you're like the leader, stuff like this. And then Leo calls him an idiot, or he's kind of an asshole most of the time. And so Raphael just has to go up on the roof and do some fucking dance punching, I guess. And on another roof, we do see Casey. He sees him on the top of the roof. So, and we get kind of our first big fight scene-ish in the movie. The Foot Clan show up and they beat the fuck out of Raphael.
He holds his own for a little while, but
He does.
there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. So he's getting his ass beat. They're down there and they're like, oh yeah, Raph will be all right. He usually does this, and then he's just getting his ass kicked and then falls through the roof, and just a massive fight ensues. And you get like the little silly, things with the turtles. Like, I forget what happened in this scene, but yeah, there's like a few different like fun
So
scenes to
many.
them. Yeah.
Donnie gets his head dunked in a fish tank and he comes out and squirts water in the guy's
Oh
eyes. And
yeah.
Mikey's on his back on his shell and he holds the nunchucks out. And I think it's Donnie. He fucking spins him around in a circle. He's like, "Wheel of Fortune,
Yeah.
dude."
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fucking all out chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, and oh yeah, and then April shows them, I think before this happened, but she shows them like her dad's like antique shop that they had down there. And then at one point, like the Foot Clan get these, like, I forget what they're called, but these like axes basically. And then like they keep chopping in the wood, and then more Foot Clan guys come and they just fall through the roof and then fall into this antique shop, and like more fighting ensues. I think one of them like bashes guys' heads together. And one of my favorite scenes too is the nunchuck dude that shows up.
Oh yeah.
And he's doing the thing, and then Mikey's like, oh, we got a fellow chucker, eh? And then just having like a dud chuck off. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Yeah, Master Tatsu shows up, and then her boy Casey comes to help him. Has a fucking goalie stick. So they fight them off. They need to get Raphael out of there because he's pretty fucked up. They get out this like secret area, and the place burns down. Yeah. That back at the Foot Clan, Tatsu is pissed the fuck off, and he starts beating up all the kids. We see Danny's talking to Splinter. Yeah. So back at Casey's, what do you think of April and Casey's kind of chemistry that they had?
I like it. They're like playful with each other. They act like they don't like each other, but I mean, it's clearly like flirtatious attitudes toward each other. I like it. I think like Casey's just so smitten by her, right? He will do anything to kind of get her, but at the same time, he's an asshole to her.
Yeah, so Raphael's like in a bathtub, like he's like pretty much done, like he got really messed up. Leonardo is like really fucking depressed, and that you get that scene of like April drawing him, and yeah.
I love
So
these scenes because, like, I don't mean to interrupt you,
that was
but
all good.
like, we're getting all these visuals of the different turtles, and they're all kind of doing their own thing. Like, Leo's grieving, but he won't leave Raph. Raph's fucking almost dead in the bathtub, and then Mikey and Donnie are doing their own thing. But the whole time, there's like this kind of very calm narrative of April kind of talking about how each one of she's drawing them. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's a really cool scene. It kind of reminded me of too how Sarah Connor
Yeah.
but yeah, I don't know. And like the music that's playing during all this too, it's, I don't know, it's just a really good kind of.
Yeah. So Raph is okay now. They're training. I love the scene of Casey cutting the veggies with Leo's katana.
Yeah.
And then he comes in and like April's like kind of like and he's like eating an apple and he just comes in and starts like massaging her and she's like ooh, and then like Donatello and Mikey come in and they're like kind of stop and they're like they grab like turtle wax out of the cupboard
Yeah.
and it's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see Leo is like meditating and he hears Splinter and then he tells the other turtles that Splinter is alive, so he's gonna show them and then like they have like this fire and then Splinter shows up in the fire. Kind of silly, but
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like the whole meditate. Whenever Leo sees Splinter, that I used to have to close my eyes at that scene because he creeped me out so bad. Just the way that like he flashes into the camera, I was just like, oh fuck. It's so creepy.
Yeah, Casey and April definitely hooked up.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely. So now it's time to go back to their home. They're all trained up. Raph is all healed up. They get there, you see someone watching them. It's Danny, who like I don't know at this point like where his head is at. 'Cause like he wants to be good but also goes back to Tatsu and the Foot Clan.
Yeah. I feel he's just trying to find acceptance, I think, because him and his dad are always at outs. He feels that Charles doesn't like him and respect him and whatever. But I feel like he's torn because he has this family with the Foot Clan, but then he also has April, who has always kind of been in his corner. So I feel like he's kind of being torn between both worlds. Like he knows that it's wrong with the Foot Clan. He feels like he's accepted there.
One of the funniest things too at the line in this movie, which just goes to show like this was like 1990. They're like in the turtles hideout and Casey's like acting funny and the turtles are like, "Oh, how you doing there, Casey? You're a little claustrophobic." And then Casey's like, "I've never batted one single eye at a guy before." And they're like, "No, like, yeah, you don't like to be enclosed in areas." He's like, "No, I'm fine. I was gonna go sleep in my van."
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, you're afraid?" He's like, "I'm not afraid." But then another weird scene, Shredder is talking to Danny like through his mind.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on
I didn't
there.
understand that. And then Danny goes back to the Foot Clan, to obviously tell Shredder where they're at.
No, he's going to get he's going to get Splinter.
Well, he's going back, but like he goes back because of Shredder, doesn't he?
I thought he went back to get Splinter because he saw, like he went back to talk to Splinter.
We see Casey doesn't end up following him, and Casey gets into the steals a Foot Clan outfit. Splinter is telling Danny about his upbringing and training, which we talked about already. Shredder says he's gonna go and kill the turtles himself, and for Tatsu to get rid of a Splinter. Yeah, the turtles are fighting the Foot Clan again. Casey is fighting Tatsu, getting his ass fucking handed to him, and then finds a good old golf club. And just one hit to the head, he goes flying. And what does he say? Like, I'll never call golf a dull sport again, or something like that. Yeah, so Shredder has arrived to the turtles. They're fighting on the rooftop, and Shredder says, like, she says, like, "Oh, you guys are good at the old ways," or something like that. And like, this is kind of disappointing because, like, literally all they do is like go up and do like a little flip, and then like he'll just push him away or something stupid. Like, I don't know. I felt like the guy maybe couldn't move like in his outfit or something like that, so they had to do like minimalistic
I know.
moves or something.
I can agree with that this fight, as an adult watching this movie, this fight is so disappointing and underwhelming. 'Cause like this is the end boss, man. Like this is the guy that you are going to fight. And it's just every time that they engage him, they're just thrown to the ground and that's it. There's no fight at all.
No. And like the turtles get their ass kicked, and then this fucking 200-year-old fucking rat just kills them in like 2 seconds and like
Yeah.
barely does anything. I'm like, okay.
The only reason why is because the fucking he had one of Mikey's nunchucks and then it slipped. And then Shredder fucking falls into the garbage truck. I love that scene too.
Yeah, me too. His case just like whoops and like hits the compactor. And then yeah, so they kill Shredder. All the gang members are like kind of given up, and I love the scene too. I didn't mention, but whatever Casey is, he kills Tatsu or hits Tatsu, and then the main gang leader, fucking
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, is like, "Come on, guys, let's get him!" And like, no one's doing anything, and like Sam like says, "Like this is our family," and then like Casey's like, because it was kind of like a little speech is like, "This is your family? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?"
I love how he goes, "You call this a family?" And he points at the group of guys and he goes, he points at tattoos. You called that on the ground family? I was
Yeah.
just like,
Danny now goes by Dan, apparently,
yeah.
and
He's a mature adult now.
yeah, exactly. Charles is trying to rehire April and makes her the highest paid news anchor
Yeah.
in the city. And then we see April and Casey have a big kiss together, and then the turtles are, saying their famous lines or whatever, and that Splinter comes in and it's like, "Cowabunga, dude!" And it's,
He's like, "I made a funny, ha ha ha."
yeah, so stupid, but amazing. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Anything else?
I don't know. I feel like I could talk about this. We'll leave it at what it's at.
Fair enough.
All right.
That's the way. There's so many options.
There is, yeah.
The nunchucks chuck, I guess.
All right, that works. How did you rate this movie?
In my heart, a 5 out of 5, but
All right.
in reality, a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Just, I mean, nostalgia to the max. Like I said, it defines the 90s. The costume design, the choreography, the dialogue. I thought the acting was fantastic. Well, for the most part, I think our main core, except for Danny, I thought were good. The music, great. There's some like questionable, like kind of weird things in this movie, like story-wise, but it's a classic, man. So yeah, how about you?
I get a 4.5.
Okay.
It's probably like the second most nostalgic movie for me next to Batman from 1989.
Okay.
Like I said before, like I watched this trilogy so much. Like I had it on VHS, obviously. So. And I'm pretty sure I burned out the tapes. I watched this so much. And like it holds up. Like this movie's 35 years old now. And it still holds up just as much. Like the costume design's amazing. I love what Jim Henson was able to do. And the cheesy one-liners were great. The bickering back and forth was awesome. The score was so good, man. Like, especially like the darker toned music, like whenever they're doing their fight sequences and stuff like that. I just thought that it's not a perfect movie by any means, but the nostalgia factor is through. I love what now is. Yeah, 4.5 for me. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is exactly as advertised. One-liners, brawls, and general silliness. Good for the young at heart, irritating for everyone else. I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Based on that, what do you think the critics scored
Say like 62.
it? I wish. 46%.
Damn.
That's on 57 reviews.
Fuck.
The audience score, however, is an 81%
Wow.
on 250,000 ratings and an average score of 4 out of 5, or good job, audience. Letterboxd.
Letterboxd has a 3.4 out of 5. Buddy Allen gave it a 3. I don't read. I think you raised your score too, didn't you?
I did. I originally had it at a 4, and then as we were talking, I was like, no, I'm going up to a 4.5.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say. Scream in Cinema gave it a 3.5, and that's it.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah,
That's
not
it?
many people have that I know of.
Well, okay then. All right. Ready for our cunning stunts. How'd you rate the studs of this movie?
I'll give it like a 8 out of 10. I just think like they're just great, especially doing it in those costumes too. Like, fucking incredible, man. Like, it's great, like comedic stuff and also like serious stuff. And they just got really, what's the word I'm trying to think? I don't know. I can't think of it, what I'm
All right.
trying to say. But yeah, so 8 out of 10. Favorite stunt, I'll go with like the first big fight in April's apartment. I just think it was a great mixture of like comedy. We see Mikey like doing the fucking nunchucks like fucking crazy. We get like the team ups and the funny, one-liners, and yeah, so I'll go with that. Stunt that we like to try. Okay, I know. There's one scene, I don't know if it's in this first fight scene or like the next one. But you and me trying to do that one where the two turtles like
I know exactly what you're talking
hold each other's legs and are
about.
like rolling into the Foot Clan.
As soon as you said you and me, I was like, oh, I know what he's saying. That's perfect. I love it.
How about you?
Stunts, I gave it a 7 out of 10. It is impressive what they were able to do while in those suits, but I do feel like the fighting was pretty like cumbersome and one-dimensional. Like they weren't doing outside of like the silly stuff, like if they're actually doing like actual fighting, they weren't able to do a whole lot. Plus, like that, how we mentioned with the scene with Shredder, it was just kind of disappointing. But I mean, the silliness really made the fights a lot more. My favorite stunt, I'm going to say that the scene in the antique shop, so similar to yours, just like the second part of the fight. I love because like it catches on fire and then they're fighting in the fire and they're trying to save themselves and get out and Casey comes in and he's fucking shit up too. And it's just, I love that fucking score that's going on in the background of this scene. It's just, I love that scene so much. And stunt I would want to try is to do the Wheel of Fortune. Have a
Okay,
fucking
yeah,
turtle shell on my back and just
that
spin
was
around
high
in a
up on
circle.
my, yeah, nice.
Right. Anyways, I had a blast watching this movie.
Me
I had a
too.
blast talking about this movie. Now it's your turn to pick our next one.
All right. Just can't get away from these 90s movies.
All right, I'm fine with that.
So, we're gonna be shipping out to Boston and joining up with Jesus himself and the Boondock Saints.
Fucking right. As soon as you said Boston, I thought maybe. That's sick. All right. I love it. Oh man, it's been a while since I've watched this. That's a
Yeah, me too.
make like a tree and get the fuck out of here. All right, yeah, I'm stoked for that. But yeah, in the meantime, you guys can catch us on Instagram at a podcast on road. Shoot us a message if you want to chat. Check out our backlog. And thanks for listening.
Thank you. Talk in a couple weeks.
Bye.